Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. By the way, Pastor, I figured that'd be around $17,500. We won't count the first 6 years.
Okay. Thank you for doing that.
And even 500.
Yeah. Oh, boy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. I'd like to have you read along with me on the even-numbered verses. And let's stand together as we read. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, but my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time together this morning, the opportunity that we have to come together to hear the preaching of your word. We thank you, Lord, for it. We pray that you'd bless the time that we have. Thank you, Lord, for each person that's here this morning. And we do pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know you, they might come to know you today. Lord, be with Pastor as he brings a message to us this morning, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts as we hear the word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Number 435 in your songbook, I Need Thee Every Hour. 435. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need every hour. Enjoy your name. Come quickly and abide.
Take your Bibles, please, if you would, and let's turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, if you would, please. preach this morning a pattern for present-day ministry, a pattern for present-day ministry. It seems like people are given to change, a pattern for present-day ministry from this passage of Scripture. I want to read again verses number 1 through 7. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the pattern for present-day ministry. And let's pause for a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we're grateful today for the opportunity to stand behind a pulpit and to proclaim your word. Thank you for your salvation, for your leading and guiding in our lives, getting us to the point we are today. And Lord, I pray that each person would glean something that can help them take a step forward in the Christian life, strengthen them. And Lord, I pray again, if there's anybody here that's not saved for certain, that they'd come to know the Lord Jesus Christ today, whom to know is life eternal. Bless our time together. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pattern for present-day ministry. I'm always appalled at how many ministries change, have changed with the wind, and it's really amazing to see that happen. The mega ministries that promoted seeker-sensitive idealism is not what the Bible teaches at all. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't bring a seeker-sensitive message or a seeker-sensitive ministry. He came and John the Baptist said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise. Jesus preached, amen. And they were astonished at his doctrine. The common people heard him gladly because he told it like it is, amen. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so many ministries, I mean, the Rick Warren Saddleback ministry and the Willow Creek ministry in Chicago, and being a pattern for so many churches, abandoning so many practices that are, it's just amazing. I mentioned last week about a preacher that I know that had a really great church, and they just went completely contemporary. And is no longer pastoring because of his age, but it just destroyed the whole environment of that ministry. And the person had seen someone and asked if I, and I mentioned this in a message, but asked, is Jim still a fundamentalist? Yes. Amen? Yes, I am. Because as far as I know, the Bible hasn't changed. Pattern for present-day ministry. We read these verses here. It's hard to comprehend the depth and breadth of the Apostle Paul's ministry. It's pretty hard to comprehend that, the Apostle Paul's ministry. The amount of territory he covered, considering the forms of travel in his day, is amazing. The exceeding rich volume of truth that God gave him and used him to share is mind-boggling. We can't digest it all, the epistles and so on. We can't digest all of its truth. much of our doctrinal understanding concerning salvation, and certainly concerning living, the second coming, and future things, comes by means of what God gave us through the Apostle Paul. And then the realm of his spiritual influence is nothing short of miraculous. It's certainly, I think, unmatched by any other missionary evangelist in history, continuing its influence for nearly 2,000 years by the scriptures through him. We just can't begin to comprehend the breadth and depth of the Apostle Paul's ministry. No man who's ever accomplished anything substantive wants others to come behind him and undo that for which he gave his life in labor. As the Apostle Paul inspired to write to Timothy here, I believe he has some of that thought in mind. Covered vast realms of territory, preached to countless numbers of people, seen scores of people come to know the Lord as Savior. Persecution followed him wherever he went. And he writes to Timothy as Timothy, Paul's in prison, and Timothy is given charge to help the churches and stabilize the churches and set in order things in the churches. I believe the Apostle Paul had in mind how hard he'd labor and how long he'd labor. And he didn't want things to fall apart in his absence. The ministry is certainly labor intensive. Some people think a preacher works one day a week and then it's not so good usually. Right? No, you don't think that. Who was it? Brother Bergen, it was you that told me your son at school years ago told his teacher that you only worked one day a week, right? The ministry is labor intensive and the results of a life of work are precious. With that in mind, God gives the Apostle Paul a powerful pattern for ministry to Timothy, which continues to be our pattern today. In our day, as I alluded to, so many are trying to reinvent. They have a better way from their vast realm of omniscience. Trying to reinvent the ministry, they say that they're thinking outside the box. That's one of the terms that I really can't stand, outside the box. I mean, in some areas, I see where it relates. But to me, outside the box, really, what they really mean is they're freeing themselves from the binding principles of ministry given us in the Scriptures and going outside. Concerning the many different Bible versions of our day, evangelist Lester Roloff years ago said, the Bible doesn't need to be rewritten, it needs to be reread. I agree with that one. Concerning ministry, I'll say, ministry does not need to be reinvented, it needs to be resubmitted to Scripture. People have looked for human successes, and when they didn't see human successes, they've changed their human means. They lead by their means, as was mentioned of the priest in the Old Testament. The pattern given Timothy by Paul is the pattern that we as God's people are expected to embrace today. And the ministry is constantly evolving, we have no reference point. But the Word of God never changes. And so the pattern given to Timothy by Paul is the pattern that we're expected to embrace today, and they were expected to embrace in the first century likewise. This morning, let's examine the pattern for ministry given in this passage as Paul, we see, was completing the ministry of his life. He's offered in verse 6, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He was ready to depart to be with the Lord. He'd labored intensively, and he's given instructions. Let's examine this pattern that Paul gave as he was completing his life of ministry. The first thing he tells Timothy here in chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I charge thee therefore. That first of all implies that the Apostle Paul had some authority, doesn't it? You can't charge somebody to do something if you don't have the authority to do it, or if they don't see you as having the authority to do it. Several years ago, my dad and mom were visiting us at our house, and my dad was always liking to kid around with them. And, you know, he was telling them they could or couldn't do something. And Ryan, who was little then, Ryan comes in, and he looks at my wife, and he pointed to my dad, his great-grandpa, and he says, who's in charge here? He wasn't sure if he needed to listen to great-grandpa or not. And great-grandpa was teasing him. Who's in charge? Well, God. Amen. And the Apostle Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit to write this to Timothy, says, I charge thee therefore. Speaking from a point of authority. We must always look at Scripture from that perspective. The Word of God isn't smorgasbord, amen? The Word of God is God speaking from a point of authority. In fact, the Pharisees said about Jesus, he speaks as one with authority. Duh. I charge thee therefore. Giving a charge. Ministry is not a nice venture to consider. It's a charge. The word charge, a solemn testimony given to be accepted and adopted. Here is your charge. You accept it. You adopt it. You follow it. I'm giving it to you with authority. You embrace it. You're accountable. The ministry of a local church and its people is not an option. It's an order. We come to church, and it's not just because we think, hey, this is a great thing to do. We gather together because it's an order, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. The ministry of a local church and its people, it's not an option, it's an order. Christians ought to embrace it as such. I charge thee, therefore. Is not, in my opinion, an occupational choice. It's a divine call. It's a divine call to duty. Would to God more young people today would listen for that divine call. I think the Lord is calling, but people aren't listening or accepting the charge. However, more than Timothy is impacted, it impacts not only every pastor, but every Christian are a part of that charge that God gave. Every Christian is to be involved in various capacities of the local church ministry. It's a charge given to us. This charge is given in the overviewing presence of our God and Savior. You know, we can't say, but I wonder if God knows what I'm supposed to be doing. Yeah, he does. Look at this verse again, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Christians have to be reminded of? We need to realize that the truth we hear carries with it a divine accountability. Some people take going to church as, yeah, he said some nice things, some good things. Yeah, that's helpful. Listen, I charge thee before the Lord Jesus Christ. When his word is preached, God is overviewing, and we're accountable to him for what we hear and what we do. Notice it says, who shall judge the quick and the dead? Those aren't two types of cats crossing a road, by the way. Okay? The quick and the dead, the living and the dead, all right? Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom? We have to realize that God is overviewing us and he will judge us. We will stand before him. Living and dead will stand before him at his appearing. So we're accountable to God for what we do with the truth that we hear. We're accountable to God for the actions we take in response to his word. It is important that when we listen to the word of God and God speaks to us, it's important that we do something about it. God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. I can guarantee that probably someone has sat here and time after time, the Holy Spirit, whether I preach on something or not, the Holy Spirit convicts about something. And when he does, God's people are accountable to respond. Because what is said and what is done is in the overviewing in presence of God himself. I charge thee, therefore. When we look at ministry, Christian ministry, it's a charge given to us from God. It's not our ministry that we choose to do. It's God's ministry that he's entrusted us with today. And then he says, here's the pattern. Preach the word. Preach the word. The word preach means to officiate as a herald, to be a herald, to proclaim after the manner of a herald. And it always has with it the suggestion of formality, gravity, and authority, requiring listening and obeying. It's not just preaching to the wind. It's preaching from a point of authority. That's why, you know, I think one of the devil's tools to get people into little Bible studies where there's no point of authority. Nothing wrong with studying the Bible, don't get me wrong. But the word of God should be preached from a point of authority. Not the authority of man, but the authority of God. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. And it has a different impact than, oh, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? Well, I think this. Well, I think that. Well, nobody really knows. And the word of God should be preached from a point of authority. And if God says it, then you have to understand that you're accountable not to the preacher, but to God. I don't become overly introspective with people's lives or inspecting people's lives or going to them about every little thing that I see that might bother me. But the Holy Spirit is. Spirit is everywhere, amen? Something preached, maybe not that day, the Holy Spirit may prick somebody. And don't blame it on me. It's God. Preach the word. To officiate as a herald in a formal manner with gravity and authority, requiring its message to be listened to and obeyed. Notice he says, preach, and the subject material is quite simple. Preach what? The word. Preach the word. A preacher should never run out of material. If I've preached something before, I can preach it again if it's the word, amen? You never run out of material in the word. The subject of preaching is set in stone. The word of God abideth forever. People today, more than anything, need to hear the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. It's God's word that changes us. It's God's word that's our reference point for life and eternity. People need to hear the word of God. Philosophies, I've noticed, come and go. They're dressed up in different garb, but many of them are the same. The modern day contemporary movement is nothing but the social gospel my dad preached against when I was a kid. Philosophies come and go. Theories rise and fall. dogmatic applications that people may have from time to time disappear over time. Yet the Word of God abides how long? Forever. Preach the Word. Men fall in love with their new ideas, but God honors His Word. I used to think when I first began preaching, I really got to come up with something. And I understand God says, just open my book. I put a lot there. Amen. As a young preacher one time studying, and I was convicted over it. I've confessed it too. But I was studying and I was thinking that I needed to parrot something that I'd heard. And I'm searching the scripture and I just didn't see it in the scripture. And in my, at that moment, carnal mind of a novice, I said, God, you didn't put enough in the Bible. We've got enough there, amen? And one of the jobs of a good minister, as recorded in 1 Timothy, is to remind people of what God has said, not come up with new things to say. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick, living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What led to my salvation as a 19-year-old was the Word of God that had been sown into my heart, and the Holy Spirit drove the point home. Preach the Word. I want you to notice the references that Paul had given to the Word already in this letter to Timothy. Follow with me in your Bible just momentarily. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 7 and 8, he says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. That's the message we preach, of the gospel according to the power of God. Reference to what we preach. Chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold on to sound teaching. In this instance, Paul said that you, Timothy, heard from me. You hold on to that. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy in verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, those same things you heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Not new things, the same things. To faithful men, implying people that will be faithful as stewards to take what they've got, guard it, preserve it, and pass it on. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach. Verse 14 of chapter 2. Verse 14 of chapter 2. Of these things put them in remembrance. Take the things I've told you and I've told them, put them in remembrance of them. In other words, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So you take the things that have been taught and you rehearse them and reteach them and re-exegete them and reapply them, but keep on those same things. In verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. See, the philosophy of our day is let's prove ourselves before man and make man like us. No, we're to study. The word study is to show due diligence. Be diligent. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God that needeth not to be ashamed. How do we do that? Well, by rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of God is the center post for ministry, period. The word of God. And then if you would, verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Empty chatter, empty teaching, non-scripture based, extra-biblical thought, seminars on this and that, instead of preaching the word. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is already past, and overthrow the faith of some. We preach the word and we'll stick with the word. Often man's thought and we'll err from the word of God. And then chapter 3 and verse 10, please. But thou hast fully known my, what's the next word?
Doctrine.
Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Notice, thou hast fully known my doctrine and my life. He's charging them, or charging him, and it passes to us, to hold on to what has been delivered. The manner of ministry, preach the word. And then notice chapter 3 and verse 13. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Throughout, from the time of Paul's ministry to now, and these, what, our last days of ministry, even then, till now, evil men and seducers grow worse and worse all the time. Think of the many false doctrines that are out there. But verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. And please, everybody, read the last phrase with me. Ready? Knowing thou hast learned them. You can learn from all kinds of people today in all kinds of manners, radio, TV, internet, but you don't know a thing about those people. Paul said, you continue the things you've learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. There's something about the example of the ones proclaiming the word that needs to correlate with the message that's preached, and that stamps indelibly upon the heart and minds of people. They see a living example can do, and the truth, and you continue the things that you've heard of me, Paul said. And then if you notice in verse number 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's the scriptures which pointed to Christ, which were used to confirm that Christ is Christ, that are wise unto salvation. And all scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Yeah, the preacher might have some rough edges, but if he has the blank book, you listen, amen? Might be smarter than another, more in depth, more intellectual than another, but if he preaches the word, that's what matters. And it is what thoroughly furnishes us. The first mandate of the pattern for ministry is preach the word. Folks, I don't make any bones about it. The Bible's our textbook. Several years ago, when everybody in the area was studying the purpose-driven life, preaching from the purpose-driven book. Amen. We don't study the books about the Bible. We study the books of the Bible. We preach the Word. The second thing is to be instant. Not like we think of instant coffee, instant tea. The word instant is the idea of being at hand or being ready. 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, it says, preach the word, then be instant. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Be instant, be ready. Be present, ready to stand. In season, out of season, or when it's opportune, when it's time, and when it's inopportune, when it's unseasonable. You wouldn't plant crops in winter, but you better be ready to minister for the Lord any season, is what he's saying. A state of readiness in the Army. When I was in the military down in Fort Hood, Texas, we would work on our vehicles all the time. Sometimes pretend we were working because there wasn't anything to do. They called that shamming. And some would say, the sergeant's online, and everybody, you know. But we'd work on our vehicles. We'd work on our radios. We'd make sure everything was ready to go. We were trying to maintain a status of readiness. We want our military in America, our military, to have a status of readiness, don't we? That's what the Lord's saying here. I want you to study, to grow spiritually, and to maintain your spiritual walk so that the status of go at all times to do something for the Lord, to stand up for the Lord, to witness for the Lord. Be ready. Night comes, as we preached not long ago, when we cannot do what we could have done for the Lord. Whether it's convenient or not, be ready. And ministry is often not convenient. Our readiness is expected at all times to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. Be diligent to always. And with that readiness, reproving or bringing truth to light. Be ready to rebuke or sharply charge fault exposed by the Word of God. You know, I'm not afraid to stand up and say abortion is wrong. Amen. And I've said this before. You know, a terrible shooting. Yesterday, was it, or Friday? Terrible shooting, again, in a school. You know what? It could have been a terrible stabbing. It could have been a terrible strangling. And it's because of the hearts of these young people we've talked about. I believe it's demonic. I believe they're getting marching orders from demonic things they've put in their hearts and minds. Through music, through video games, and the demon just says, kill, kill. I believe that's what's happening. What they need to get up in arms about is that 1.3 million more young people would be graduating this year were it not for abortion. Well, that's rebuking. Amen? That's sharply charging fault that's exposed by the Word. Be ready to exhort, to call upon people to perform what God wants them to do. I found that people that don't want to be challenged to live for the Lord would rather blend in to a church where they're not noticed. In attending our church for a short time, he's a really, really good man, nice man. But he said to me, Brother Whitman, he says, I like the preaching here, but it's a small church and people would be looking at me to do stuff. Yeah. So what? You're a surgeon. You still ought to do stuff for the Lord, amen? Amen? So he blended in a bigger church in the area. I was kind of that. But here, the exhortation to do something for the Lord. Be ready to do that. To exhort one another. Someone tells you, you know, I'm just discouraged and I feel like I don't just feel like going to church anymore, reading my Bible. Why don't you be ready at that moment and exhort them and say, no, don't turn back. Amen. Stand up for the Lord. Keep going. Amen. To be done with an attitude of patience, we see here, and persistence with all long suffering and doctrine. Using the clear teaching of the Word to accomplish what we're trying to do. Not new philosophies, but the clear teaching, the doctrine, teaching of the Word of God. And with that understanding, the attitudes of the day there, you know, people say, well, times have changed, and so people need something different today. Not so. The times today are no different than the times back then in the Apostle Paul's day. They had the occult. They had cults, religious cults, mythology. They had the Judaizers that were perverting the gospel. They had everything we have today, just different garb, different faces to it. And notice it says here in verse number 3, for the time will come. And he wasn't projecting 2018. He was saying, in your ministry, Timothy, the time will come. I mean, people may love you because you're so wonderful right now, but the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine. Jesus, this always amazed me. People say, well, if Jesus was here, I'd listen to him. You remember when Jesus fed the 5,000, fed the bread and fishes enough to feed the 5,000, and then he taught them and said, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. And when those people heard that, the Bible says many of them turned and left. They liked the fish sandwiches, but they didn't like the doctrine. And Jesus asked, did you also go away? No, you have the words of eternal life. Notice in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, their own desires, human craving, after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Kind of a ear. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears after their own lust. Heap to themselves. When I read this passage, it always takes me back to a childhood experience, a real one. We had in our home, my dad was in the ministry, you knew that, and we had for a time a lady who stayed at our house while she was teaching at a nearby school. I think there was 5 of us. I think Lois and Fred had gone to college. We had a lady who stayed at our house for a while. She was teaching at a nearby school, and I was about 11, maybe 12. And what I remember most about that experience is her appetite. It was somewhat more than healthy. Mom stretched her food budget all she could. Dad pastored a little church there in New Berlin, New York, and Mom stretched her food budget to feed us, not to mention the extra healthy eater we had staying with us. Each of us would get our share. And I specifically remember one night, I can remember it, it's just clear as I'm standing here, when we had mashed potatoes. I love mashed potatoes, amen. The real McCoy. Mashed potatoes. And they were homemade, real potatoes. And Mom made a bowl of mashed potatoes first to this particular person with a healthy appetite that was staying with us. And I can remember my sister Dorcas and I watching her take a big scoop. And another big scoop. And another big scoop. Heaping the potatoes on her plate. I'm sure my eyes bugged out and my mouth dropped as she heaped her plate with what could have been my mashed potatoes. She heaped to herself, greedy, thoughtless, self-indulgent, from my immature perspective. People do the same spiritually. Heaping to themselves the teachers they want, something they want to hear, and to not say something they do not want to hear. Heap to themselves. And doing so, the Bible says they turn from the truth and turn unto fables. When people reject truth, they open themselves to error. When somebody says no to something God says, there's still a vacuum there that's going to accept something someone other than God says. Preach the word, be instant, and then down in verse number 5, watch. But watch thou in all things. Watch. Here's the personal safeguards in ministry. Watch thou in all things. I kind of feel that way as a pastor, a watchdog in many times. Years ago, somebody put out a whole bunch of sheets about, I saw them, file 13 they went, amen? The person said to me, have you been reading my emails I've sent you promoting Calvinism? I said, yes. He said, what do you think of them? I said, not much. Personal safeguards, watch in all things. Sober vigilant, be sober. Watch is the idea. On guard for danger. In ministry, we have to watch out for things and the gospel ministry. Another personal safeguard, endure afflictions. Things can be tough and afflictions may come. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of what? Them all. Evangelize. Do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of evangelists. Not all will get saved. Not all who profess to be saved will stay under. But nonetheless, keep reaching out for the lost. Some won't endure, but evangelize. You'll have tough times, but evangelize. And then he said, make full proof of thy ministry. There are too many quitters today. Yeah. Make full proof of the ministry. The word full proof here means to bear or bring to cause a thing to be shown to the full. You know, to carry through to the end or accomplish. There are many starters and not many finishers. You know what I love to see? I love to see a Kale still serving the Lord. I love to see a Mr. and Mrs. Bergen, a Bob and Bev McCoy, and others. I shouldn't have named anybody because now we'll name everybody. But everybody, I love to see that because for years they came to know the Lord, and for years and years and years been involved in the local church ministry in one way or another. That's making full proof. The ministry. Complete the full realm of the race and cross the finish line. Complete every task of the course. If there's a hurdle, jump the hurdle. If there's a river, the river. If there's a rope, climb the rope. If there's a fence, go under the fence. Do everything involved with the ministry that God has placed you in, and then cross the finish line. Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And I think he's looking back at all the obstacles and all the harms and all the things that he did, and the ministry that God had used him for, and the people that had been saved, and so on. And he says, I'm ready to go to be with the Lord. And Timothy, I give you a charge, you preach the word and you be instant and you watch yourself and you go through every hurdle and you endure, and then when you get to the end, you can say to whoever's behind you the same thing. Preach the word. That's what our ministry is about. It's our textbook. Be ready. That's our preparation. Everybody, be ready to testify for Christ. And be watchful. Safeguards in our lives that would keep us from stumbling and distract from God's ministry. Maybe you're here this morning and in your heart, if I were to ask you if you died today, do you know for sure? You'd say, I'm not really sure. I want you to be sure. God wants you to be sure. If you're not sure that you're saved, the main focus of the preaching of the word starts with, you must be born again. That's where it starts. Come to know Christ as your Savior. If you don't know Him for certain, make sure you're on your way to heaven. Christians, we're given a charge. Our ministry, it's God's. And He's overviewing not only the charge, but what we do with it. We are accountable to God for our church and our ministry and our lives as Christians. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word this morning. I pray that you'd take these, put them in our hearts. May the Holy Spirit minister to each of us as we have need. Lord, if there's someone that's not saved, may the Holy Spirit convict that person today. They need to come to Christ while they have opportunity. Lord, if there's Christians that are tainted in their minds by some of the modern day thoughts, may they push the reset button and submit to your pattern for us today. Lord, help each of us to do what we can in the part of ministry in which we're involved. Faithful through the course and finish the course. Cross the finish line. Help us, I pray. Maybe you're here this morning, and as a Christian, you've been saved, of course, but you've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism. You ought to let me know that. We'd like to see you take that step of obedience and get serving. If there's another step in your Christian life or that you need to talk with the Lord about or yield to Him, like the song we sang, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Maybe God's tugging you about full-time Christian ministry. You ought to yield to Him. Say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you would want me to do. If it means staying in this local church and serving through it, if it means to be a pastor or a missionary, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. Being a layman in a local church is just as spiritual as being a pastor. But I'm willing to be what you want me to be, Lord, where you want me. Is that your heart this morning? God gives you a charge to be involved in ministry. In just a moment, we're going to stand together and sing, and when we do, in your heart, maybe there's some steps in your Christian life that have faltered. You ought to come to the Lord and just confess them and slip back to your seat renewed. Maybe you ought to come and just pray, God, bless our church and help us to be faithful to reach the lost. If you're not saved, when we stand and sing, I want you to come down the aisle, grab my hand and say, Pastor, I want to make sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you do that? Let's stand together, please. Father, bless this invitation now, I pray. Have your will in our life. Give all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jeff.
Number 386 in your songbook, Here Am I, Lord.
Lord, I want to take control each day. I will follow anywhere, near or far away. Here am I, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time with you to bring us back here safely tonight. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to work in our hearts and lives, reminding us of those things we've looked at in your word today. Lord, use us for your honor and glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and you are dismissed.